Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Can you imagine how gloriously beautiful the new Jerusalem, which is going to be perfect, the new heaven and the new earth, absolutely perfect, a brilliant jewel coming down from heaven, from God, indescribably beautiful, the new Jerusalem.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Today, we're continuing our study in Revelation with a fascinating lesson about the New Jerusalem, a central part of the new heaven and the new earth. We're getting a marvelous glimpse of things to come. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with the second half of his message, The New Jerusalem.
As we come to the final chapters of the book of Revelation, we've been thinking of the new heaven and the new earth. Last time we began to think of the new Jerusalem, the holy city, the city of God, the city of the great King, the city of peace. This new city, the new Jerusalem, comes down from heaven and rests on the earth. It will be the center of the universe. Yes, the new Jerusalem is the capital city of the new heaven and the new earth. And it is our eternal home. Do you want to learn more about it? Well, we began looking at it last time. Continue to listen carefully as we learn more about this magnificent, brilliant city, the New Jerusalem. Rejoice, child of God. This is our final destiny.
John gives us a tremendous description of the New Jerusalem, a place of indescribable glory and beauty. Let's read of it from verse 9. Revelation 21, verse 9. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Let's just stop there. This is a place of indescribable beauty. Now notice its size, verses 15. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies four square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits by human measurements, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the gate was pure gold, transparent as glass. He said, "I saw no temple in the city." This is amazing. "For its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb." How wonderful. Notice verse 24. "By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean," please hear this, "nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Now you say, well, that's very interesting, John, but what shall we do in heaven? I want to say, in heaven, we shall be at home, enjoying perfect communion and fellowship with all of the redeemed. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, understand this, that heaven is your home. Nowhere are we welcome so much. Nowhere do we feel so comfortable as in our own home. And what makes a home a home? What's the difference between a house and a home? It's the people, isn't it? And it's the relationships that we enjoy. And in heaven, please understand this, we'll be at home with all the family of God. And the good news is we're going to get on there perfectly. I realize now the relationships within the family, within the Christian family, are not necessarily perfect. But there, we'll be in the Father's house and we will be at home. You say, will I fit in? Absolutely, I guarantee it. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you will fit in perfectly. When you arrive there, you will feel as if you've been there all of your life. You will have just as much right to be there as anyone else. We have only one Savior, washed by the same blood and dwelled by the same Spirit, having the same Father, and we will be at home. I have to ask you, however, do you know the way to this home? Do you know how you're going to get to heaven? There's only one way. Jesus said that himself, "I am the way." Not only does he point the way, not only does he tell us about the way, he is the way. Because as the Son of God, he came from heaven, from the Father, to earth, lived a sinless life, was crucified, died for your sins and mine, was buried, and on the third day he arose and he ascended to the Father's house. And the only way to get to heaven is by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is the only way. He's the only one who can take you from earth to heaven. Go your own way and you will miss the destination completely. In the Narnia Chronicles, C.S. Lewis writes, "Oh, Aslan," said Lucy, "will you tell us how to get into your country from our world?" "I shall be telling you all the time," said Aslan, "but I'll not tell you how long or short the way will be, only that it lies across a river. But do not fear that, for I am the great bridge builder." Aslan, in C.S. Lewis's Narnia Chronicles, a symbol of Christ. Isn't it wonderful that our Lord Jesus Christ comes as the great bridge builder? From a holy God to sinful people like you and me, he comes, becomes like us, becomes a man, perfect God and perfect man. The only mediator between God, who is holy, and man, who is sinful. He's holy God, he's holy man. He is the only bridge builder. No one else can take you. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And this is why Paul says that our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior. Yes, I'm a British citizen. Yes, I'm an American citizen. But more important, I'm a citizen of heaven. And because of that, we are to await and to look up for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. On this earth, we don't quite fit in, do we? If you're living for Christ, you know it's tough going sometimes. You stand up for Christ in your school, in your office, in your bank, in your family, and people can mock you and ridicule you, and it's tough sometimes. We don't quite fit into this world. We're strangers and pilgrims, the Bible says, but soon the fight, the race, the journey will be over, and we'll be at home, eternally at home. J.C. Ryle says, "Now we're tossed upon a stormy sea, then we shall be safe in harbor. Now we have to plow and sow, then we shall reap the harvest. Now we have the labor, but then the wages. Now we have the battle, but then the victory and reward. Now we must needs bear the cross, but then we shall receive the crown. Now we're journeying through the wilderness, but then we shall be at home, at home forever with the Lord. And when Jesus comes, one of the wonderful things is going to be is that we're going to be united with all of the redeemed. Yes, the dead in Christ will rise first, Paul says, but we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Isn't that a tremendous reunion? You like family reunions, I hope. Your family's not perfect, but I hope you enjoy family reunions. I do. Great getting together. One of the things I anticipate going back to Scotland, to be with my brothers and some friends that I've known most of my life and to be so comfortable with them, even though it's been a long time possibly since we got together. No, this is wonderful. We're brothers, whether naturally or brothers in Christ, a joyful reunion. But we know each other in heaven, of course. We're going to have new, changed, glorified spiritual bodies. But our new glorified body will have a continuing identity with our present bodies. Scripture speaks of the redemption of the body, not redemption from the body. And we will be like Christ's resurrection body, who, says Paul, will transform our lowly body into his glorious body. And these new bodies will not be subject to decay or disease or death. God is the God of the living. Of course, we'll see one another. Of course, we'll recognize each other. We'll be much smarter in heaven than we are here, of course. And just as one of the great joys on earth is fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, isn't that the case? I hope you enjoy Christian fellowship. Can you imagine that being multiplied, as it were, infinitely? With all of the redeemed, we shall have this wonderful redemption as we together will sing the praises of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. All those saved by grace will be safely in the Father's house. The circle will not be broken. We'll be at home, eternally at home, joyfully at home, perfectly at home. When my father died years ago, we sang this as we stood round the graveside. I'm not going to sing it, but here are the words. Fallen asleep, lying at rest, tranquil and deep, safe on his breast, life's journey o'er, heaven's portal past, pilgrim no more, safe home at last, safe home at last. No more to fear, no more to die, shed every tear, breathed every sigh, all sorrows borne, all trials past. No more to mourn, safe home at last, safe home at last. You have a loved one who's died, haven't we all? Relatives, a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, a child, a close friend. Don't mourn for them. They're followers of Jesus Christ. They are safe home. They've gone home. They've gone ahead of us. We're not there yet. But in heaven, in this new Jerusalem, we shall be at home and we'll enjoy perfect communion and fellowship with all of the redeemed. And of course, in heaven, we will worship the Lamb and we will see his face. Chapter 22, verse 1. Just gets better and better, doesn't it? The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. The abundance of God's provision, the living water. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, no curse in heaven. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. That's what we're going to do. We're going to worship the Lamb. Now notice verse 4. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. We will see his face. No living person has seen God in the fullness of his glory. He's invisible, he dwells in unapproachable light. Heaven is where the throne of God is, where the Lamb are, verse 1. Remember in chapter 4, John has this vision and he sees through a door into heaven. Sees the throne of God symbolizing God's sovereignty, the place of worship. And with joy and with gladness, we will worship God. Psalm 16, verse 11, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We anticipate some of that joy on earth, don't we? But you can't say, I can't say that here and now there is fullness of joy. We capture joy sometimes and then it seems to go. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Unending pleasure. Unending fullness of joy. As we worship the Lamb with all of the redeemed, heaven is the presence of God, and we will worship the infinite, inexhaustible God forever. We'll see and know God. The pure in heart shall see God, the scripture says. And in the New Jerusalem, we will see God in his shining glory. Next to the glorious light, the light of the sun and the light of the moon are mere flickering candles. Heaven is where God fully and perfectly expresses himself. Heaven is where the glory of God shines in his brilliant fullness. Its lamp is the Lamb. Listen to Isaiah as he writes in Isaiah 60. Verse 19, the sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. No darkness, everlasting light, no mourning, no death, no curse. One commentator writes that this capital city, New Jerusalem, is pictured as a huge, flawless diamond reflecting the brilliant, blazing glory of God. And even in heaven, we will not be able to fully to comprehend the glory and majesty and splendor of the infinite God, but we shall see his face. Psalm 17, verse 15, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. We'll see him face to face, the one who redeemed us by his grace. And for all of eternity, we shall be in the presence of God. Now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. John says we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now we who are saved by his grace in the supernatural process of sanctification, we're becoming more and more like God's Son, but then we shall be glorified and we shall be perfectly conformed to the image of his Son. God guarantees that those whom he justifies, he glorifies in Romans 8. And we shall glorify God and enjoy him forever and ever. And what was lost in Adam is more than regained in Christ. Paradise lost is now paradise regained. You say, well, will we be bored in heaven? I mean, I enjoyed worship this morning, but I don't know if I want to worship all the time. Bored in heaven? Emphatically not. Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 7, that in the coming ages, the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us will be shown in Christ Jesus. You haven't seen anything yet. Do you think you know about God's grace? Do you think you know about his beauty? Have you got a taste of the wonder of God? You understand something of the joy of being a follower of Christ? You understand something of the incredible experience of worshiping God as we capture at times like this as we worship him? Can you imagine when we will see his face? Can we imagine in seeing the glory of God displayed and being part of this huge new Jerusalem and being able to go and to explore the new heaven and the new earth where it is indescribably beautiful, where it is perfect, where there's no evil and where there's no end, no suffering, no curse, no decay, no disappointment, no tragedy, no bereavement, forever with the Lord. That's God's grace, isn't it? What grace is this? That God not only saves us, that God in his grace takes us into his own home, the Father's house, into his own presence, so that we will see him face to face and we will serve him. And marvelous although it will be to have fellowship with all of the redeemed in this perfect communion, how much more to look on the face of the Lamb and worship him and praise him and love him and serve him for the countless ages of eternity. What a day, glorious day that will be. Our life on earth is like a flower which blooms and quickly withers. It's like the vapor, James says, that appears and then quickly vanishes. Soon all of us will be in eternity. I have to ask you, what's your destination? There's only two, heaven or hell. Salvation is offered freely to you today. Christ offers you salvation. He offers you cleansing. He says that if you trust him and you look to Christ who died on the cross for your sins, he will save you and he will cleanse you so that you are a new creation and so that you will be dressed with the righteousness of Christ and therefore fit to enter in to the new Jerusalem. And in the darkness and hopelessness of death, this glorious light shines that there is a man, a unique man, the Lord from heaven, who comes to our world, conquers the enemy of death, and offers us eternal life. Thomas Watson says, eternity to the godly is a day that has no sunset. That's good, isn't it? It'd be wonderful to be in heaven. There's no night. The sun never goes down. But he says, eternity to the wicked is a night that has no sunrise. Could you imagine being in a place of darkness forever? There is no sunrise. There is no hope. That's hell. In heaven, there is eternal light. In hell, there's eternal darkness. What will it be for you? Eternal day or eternal night? Trust Christ.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled The New Jerusalem. And just in time for our last segment of study in Revelation, John has released a brand new booklet titled For the Time is Near. This free resource is meant to help you explore the key themes and lessons we found in this fascinating last book of the Bible. Don't miss out on John's helpful discussion and clear descriptions as you revisit and reread Revelation. So request or download your free copy today by visiting us online at theverdict.org. And while you're online, you can also get the final installment of our Revelation Listening Guide that goes along chapter by chapter with each of our daily lessons. Again, just go to theverdict.org. And today, we invite you to partner with us in our gospel mission here at The Verdict by supporting this ministry with a financial gift. Your generous contribution will help deliver the truth of God's Word through the radio to your neighbors, your community, and to new listeners all around the world. To give today, just go to theverdict.org or send a check in the mail to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina 28226. And if you live in Charlotte or the surrounding area, we also invite you to join us for Sunday morning worship here at Calvary Church, home of The Verdict. Or you can join us remotely through our live stream online. Again, visit theverdict.org for more details. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Isn't this description of the new Jerusalem breathtaking? But most of all, we will worship the Lamb and we will see his face. We can't quite capture that in our minds, can we? To see God, to participate in the fullness of joy, and for that joy never to end. No more death, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more worries and anxieties, forever with our Lord. And not because of anything we have done, but completely through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.